Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, baby. Yeah. Woo! Back again.
That's right.
Luda.
Feel it.
Gets meaner and meaner each time, baby. Feeling real good, too.
Holla at him.
What up, Uncle Face?
Yeah.
I'm a bull of this industry, man.
Tell him.
You may think that it's over, that your life is done.
The best is yet to come.
Don't sweat the challenge, your battle's already won. Listen, y'all. See, God writes the end before the story begins. Oh, he told me to tell you the best
is yet to come.
As the author of your faith, he wrote a provision for you to win. You're a winner, you're a winner, you're a winner. Yeah.
You ain't seen your best days yet.
You ain't seen your best days yet.
You ain't seen your best days yet.
I don't care what people told you, you ain't seen the
best. You ain't seen your best days.
Oh, what a. My brother, my brother, my brother. What you know, woman?
My mind. I'm gonna just let that at that point of that song just settle in your soul. Man, I am Dr. Lorenzo D. Smith, the host of Talking Sports Plus, and we're so excited to be with you again on Wonderful Wednesday, or Hump Day, if you want to call that. The question in your mind is, why should I check out Talking Sports Plus? First of all, we need you to dial 347-857-4192 or go to the web link, which is www.blogtalkradio.com/The Smith Way Production. And then you can see the reason why you are calling and want to be a part of, because we are the voice of the historical black colleges and universities, high school and middle school athletics in the southeastern part of the United States. And we're so glad to have this vehicle to share some things about March Madness. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. But before I do that and introduce my co-host, I want to give them a hand clap, because I'm so proud of them taking time to be a part of this. Because I sent out an email to them this morning because I was overjoyed, and I know they felt the same way I feel. We are fortunate and being blessed, truly blessed, and I believe that we have an opportunity to have listeners all over the world. And I was doing some, research and looking at the data that he sent to me, and I'm so glad that God has given us this chance. And, I'm going to give him the praise because he's been good to each and every one of us. We're so proud to be, yes, in the United States. 97% of our audience, or less, around 90% of our audience is in the United States. Yes, because they are familiar with Blog Talk Radio, but also all over the world, the United Kingdom, Dubai. We're so happy to be in Canada, who's the bordering state to the United States. England, we've been heard in England, Greece, Norway, Zambia, one of the countries on the continent of Africa, Uganda. So another country on the continent of Africa. Also, as of this morning, I was checking my data, 6 a.m. this morning, I found that we acquired listeners in France, Greece, as I said, Puerto Rico. Man, we're there. We're so glad that each and every one of the listeners are taking time to listen to this show. And I mentioned you can call in at 347-857-4192 or go to the web link and if you just want to listen. Now, if you call in and want to be a part of the show, have a comment, a question, press 1. I'll identify your last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number, then automatically I'll ask you to tell me who you are, where you're calling from, and I would like for you to share your expertise about the topic, March Madness. The madness of March is coming and has come to an end. Now, without further ado, I want to make sure I introduce these people. And I'm going to give them raving introductions tonight because I'm just happy to be able to see that this show is worldwide. And it's because of you, team. First, I want to introduce this young man. He hails from the northern part of the state of Alabama, the Meridianville. He's a young, energetic coach that we call King. He's the leader of several city championships for girls, back-to-back for both girls and boys, and also last year, football middle school champion. Our King and the man that has that slogan, ain't no fun when a rabbit got the gun. Coach Tremaine Edwards, how you doing, Trey?
How you doing tonight, Dr. Smith? Glad to be here. Glad to be here. Just got finished cutting grass. Ready. Excited to go, Dr. Smith.
That's all right. That's all right. That man doing some labor right now. Doing some labor. Do what you do, my brother. The next person
yes,
I want to make sure I introduce. You know, I'm so proud to have him. I know he's running and ripping, but he takes time to be a part of this. And I'm so appreciative for that person for doing this. Because he didn't have to, but I'm so thankful. He hails from South Alabama. He extends his word and his train from the coast of Florida, the Gulf Coast, all the way up to Montgomery, on to Troy, and from Troy to Dothan. Our conductor of the E-train, the Don King of all things, none other than Darrell E-Train Elliott. How you doing, Darrell?
Glad to be with you, Coach. And thank you so much, Dr. Smith. I appreciate everybody listening in. Congratulations on a fine show, and congratulations on reaching out around the world. Let's talk a little sports.
Yes, sir. Let's talk some sports. Now, what I'm going to do before I go to what we're going to talk about, the madness of March, I want to make sure I say something about the other two individuals that plays a major part. I got a text from one of them saying I'm going to be a little late, but I'm coming. Our millennium, our lady of the hour, hails from Central Alabama, recently inducted to that sorority of Alpha, Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated, none other than Coach Lauren D. Smith. And last but not least, our touchdown Tony, none other than Coach Tony Stallworth, hails out of Mid-South Alabama. And we want to introduce each and every one of those individuals. Well, now let's talk some sports. Now, I just want to say one thing before we start talking sports. If you want to contact each of those individuals that have a Twitter account, I'll give you their handle so you can make sure you can do it. But for the show, you can tweet us at Talking Sports Plus with the number 1, at Lorenza D. Smith, at Elliot Darrell, the number 1, at Tremaine Edwards, the number 7, and at Coach with a K underscore L underscore Smith. So you can contact us by Twitter as well as email if you want to. That's talkingsportsplus@gmail.com. Hey, guys, let's talk some sports. And I'm so glad to have a chance to do this, share this information about being recognized and known through Blog Talk Radio and having you all being a part of this. The madness of March, and that's what we're going to talk about. And the first thing, before I go to this breaking news this morning, I want to hear y'all thoughts on this. Magic Johnson was the director of players, president of players operation, resigned yesterday, last night. Tell me what you think about that team. Tell me your thoughts on Magic Johnson resigning. And I'm going to start with Coach Trey, because Coach Trey, that's his team, and it's my team. I like Lakers as well, but I want him to share his thoughts, and Daryl, they will come to you, then I'll give my point of view in regards to that. Trey, let me hear what you have to say about that.
Dr. Smith, I'm kind of happy Magic gone. I don't think Magic understood the duties of his job. As far as anything that has an executive sense to it, Magic doesn't do good in it. I think he'll be a better owner of the team than a better executive, to be an executive part. He doesn't understand the tampering rule. He wants to do stuff publicly on Twitter, on recruiting players. I just didn't understand it. So I don't think the Lakers lose anything with that move. He went out like a coward to me. He didn't face his bosses. He just sent a message over social media. He did what this younger generation does. They run, they bounce, they vent on social media. I didn't appreciate it as being a part of the Laker organization, Laker fan. I think Magic just need to just help yourself out and just be a fan. But I'm happy he's gone. Like he said, if he couldn't do pull it through like he thought he was, he'll quit. So I guess he couldn't pull it through. He couldn't do his job, Dr. Smith. So I'm happy. Let's get somebody new in here.
Dr. Smith, right. I will tell you this. Yeah. When it came to Magic Johnson, he thought that this team that he had coming together was going to be the team, and it is not. And everything that Trey said, I springboard off of. The reality is that he never should have had that position. He's never been able to talk the talk and or walk the walk, in my opinion, in the position he's had. And he did some unprecedented things that were not precedented in the way that they should have been, including the way he exited, showed who his character truly was. So that's my two cents on that. Back to you, Dr. Smith.
And, you know, I appreciate your all opinion.
Can I say one more thing?
Yes, yes.
And also, you know, being a Lakers fan, Ms. Buss went out on a limb to put Magic in that position. I think she needs to leave personal relationships alone, because everyone she has, you know, trusted has let her down, Dr. Smith. Magic was a guy that she personally trusted. He was a personal friend of Ms. Buss. So for him to do her like that, that just lets you know, sometimes your friends can't help you get the job done. You need to get somebody that specializes in that job to get the job done. Magic was a firm example of that. He let us down, Dr. Smith. I mean, he fed us a bunch of lies that are lies right now, and he ran away from it. Just ran. That's my. I'm done. I'm done with it, Dr.
Smith. That's great. That's great. And as I see it, and I'm gonna give my point of view, I think that's much more going on just seeing superficial things, which is what we're talking about, superficial, when we talk about not getting a job, doing this, leaving everything. I think it's too many things that going on under the cover we don't really know about. I'm like Stephen Smith on this one. I want to know really what happened, because he's not going to resign for something he would love to do unless something is going on. And I, you know, evaluation of what job he has done, I don't want to do that, because first of all, that job was set up to not to be successful, because first of all, Luke Walton shouldn't be the coach. I'm gonna keep it. He's not ready, especially with LeBron. I didn't think it was ready from the beginning. So that's one reason, and he was saying that he couldn't fire him. I think he could fire him, but he was concerned with the backlash by people around him. Magic Johnson, I mean, not Magic, but Kobe Bryant. He's involved with this too, as well as Rob Pelinka. So there's so much stuff going on. We really don't know what's going on here. And I know some decisions were made coming up this fall, but a lot of this Rob Pelinka was doing recruiting, doing some things, because there's some discussion out there that Magic did not tamper. It was Rob that did it, but he took the hit for it. So by doing the things, trying to make something happen. Now, that's the way I heard it right there. And why he did it that way, going there without going to a Jeannie Buss, you know, I'm questioning really if she's ready to be an owner. This thing is so messed up, it's ridiculous. And it goes not on to the coach, not on to the president, it goes to the owner. And I think that's what's going on. But this is what I want you all to keep in mind. The backlash is for what happened when she took over from her daddy, took over the company for her brother, whoever had it. This is the backlash right here. And I just think that some things need to be done. Yes, they need to get them a president of operation. They need to get somebody. They need to get rid of Pelinka. And that's why one of the reasons why they're going to fire Magic Johnson. He wanted him fired because he was undermining him. And we don't know the whole story. I'm just going by what I hear, what you're hearing, and what we're seeing. So the bottom line, I don't put it in stock. He gave a reason why he did what he did and the way he did and didn't go to Jeannie Buss. His personal reason, was it right or wrong, because of his connection. I don't know, but I know it's much more going on besides what we're seeing, because I have never seen a team that decide to make any kind of move and the whole NBA go against them. You know, put the word out, don't trade with the Lakers. Don't be with the Lakers. The presidents of other teams are doing stuff like that. Something is going on much more than what we're hearing now, and then maybe the best thing could have happened. If I don't want to deal with this stuff, I'm gonna get out of it. He got out of it. Whether the way we like the way he got out, he got out of it. But the point is, now is what is Jeannie Buss really gonna do now? Is she gonna hire somebody that Kobe tell her to hire? Rob Pelinka, keep him around? Are they gonna keep Luke Walton around? We don't know it, because he's supposed to be fired today at 10 o'clock. So there's so much stuff going on, and I want to take this wait-and-see approach just from the little bit I know to see exactly what happened. So that's what's going on with the Lakers. The Lakers, is la-la land is not la-la land no more. We got some stuff going on in that they need to clear up and handle and function like they're supposed to. So the bottom line is, even with the player they got, they could have done better than they did. They was playing at 4 slot. It wasn't bad. LeBron went out. Your coach should have been able to get those other, but those boys were not ready. Then they got upset because they're going to be traded. So what? That's the business. You're going to get traded anyway because you don't meet what the folks are looking for. So the bottom line is, that's one of the things I think, and that's where I feel Luke Walton was not the one to be the coach there. He's not the one need to be there, whether LeBron or not. I don't see anything good. He ain't showed nothing to me yet. So the point is, it's a lot going on, some backstabbing going on around there, and it's at the worstest point the Lakers ever been, but this is collateral damage from the bust of father many years ago, and when the son and the daughter got into fights to decide who's going to run the team. This is what I think the backlash. You can be a part of the conversation. You can give your call in at call in at 347-857-4192. Press 1. We'll identify you with the last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number. Then I'll ask you to tell us who you are, and then offer your comments or your question. All right, the next thing we're going to kind of look at is dealing with the MVP. I want your opinion about who y'all think should be the MVP for the NBA. Can't get it out tonight. NBA MVP. candidates fits up there that should be identified as an MVP?
I don't dive in right quick, Dr. Smith. I'm going to go with Russell Westbrook. He's averaging a triple-double for the last 3 years. I don't see anyone else, but the beard guy that can compete with him. So Harden. So I'm going to go with Russell Westbrook for the MVP.
Okay, Russell Westbrook on your side.
The beard guy. Any player that over 6 feet and shoot three pointers, man, is and make it 40 points a game, that's a bad man. That's all I got to say.
And there's two candidates, because really they're sending only three candidates. That's Harden. Paul George is sneaking in there a little bit, and Giannis, the young man at Milwaukee. A lot of people believe that he will win it. Harden is right there, scoring 50 and 60 points. But I don't believe in that ISO basketball. You know, he's doing it just about every night, but if not, there are some off nights as well for him. So my point is, Harden is projected to be with the Westgate voters. Bettors are saying that Harden, Giannis, Paul George. So I'm going to take Milwaukee. Fortunately, I don't see many people stopping him. Even when MB had his best feeling of about a month ago, he came back and kind of embarrassed MB last week. So he's a real ball player, and I'm going with Giannis. So we have Westbrook. The King said Westbrook. Darryl said the beard guy, James Harden, and I'm saying Giannis. So those are our selection. If you have a thought about that, call in. Let us know exactly who you think will be MVP for 2019.
That's it.
You here, Darryl?
I'm here, but I think we lost Dr. Smith.
Maybe he will call back.
Trey, what's your take on Virginia, man? A lot of people thought that Virginia was going to win it, you know, but a lot of people thought they were not.
There, I'm going to say this. I've been going with Virginia the last 2 years to go deep in the tournament, and they let me down every year. So this year, I wasn't going with them. So that's my take. Not saying they weren't good enough. Now, I always thought they were good enough. I just thought they won a tournament team, point blank. But my bracket was bust off. My final four, I had no one that made it. I found myself rooting for Texas Tech, and I went from there. But I knew when that guy rolled his ankle, the big in the middle of the 16 for Texas Tech, when he rolled his ankle, I knew it was over with right there. I knew it was over.
Well,
what's your take on it?
Well, see, the thing about it is I got stuck in the middle. I thought Virginia was going to win it only after when the last four was in there. I was like, there's no way Auburn going to be able to take Virginia, because it looks like they were just on a mission, man. And so when Auburn – somebody said, you know, some people said that the referee missed a double dribble on the opposing team with Auburn. Some people said the guy – and clearly he fouled him at the end. But – and so Auburn was robbed. But the reality was I kept looking at Virginia like they are on it. So – I didn't really have a choice in my mind because I was like, I don't think nobody's going to be able to beat Virginia. I didn't see it. Even though they did, you know, they got beat by number 16 seed last year. Everything from that point on has been just win, win, win. Consistent ball play, consistent defense, consistent offense, consistent ball control. I mean, just, I don't know, man. I was happy for Auburn. I was happy, but I just, will they have the same thing next year, Trey?
Hey, fellas,
I'm back, y'all. Y'all got me?
Okay.
I'm back.
Yeah,
Okay, good. I appreciate y'all holding me down. I don't know, my phone just like to act up sometime, and I don't know why it's doing that. But let me jump in, Trey, right now when you was talking about Virginia.
Great.
You know, my team was Michigan State, to be honest. I thought Michigan State was the only team I thought could win this thing. I never thought Virginia would do it. I had no idea that Auburn would sneak by anybody to get in there, but they did. And then Texas Tech. One of my biggest things I saw with Texas Tech, yeah, they was tough on defense, and they shot the ball fair because they had that one kid that shot real well, the white kid that shot real. I don't want to be racist and say a Caucasian kid that shot the ball well, but then they didn't have enough people to shoot the ball to beat if they couldn't stop you from scoring. Now, Virginia, for that first 5 minutes, and they played defense, Texas Tech, I think they surprised Texas Tech because they surprised all the talking heads and pundits because they played some defense. They was up in their chest. They couldn't get no shots off. The clock, they running down to the shot clock, and I think that kind of shook them up a little bit. You know, both teams wasn't shooting bad, but both teams were playing good defense. But Texas Tech came in the game playing known to play great defense. Virginia was one of those teams that could play good defense, had a high-level playing defense, but just because I think some people kind of hung on because they lost last year, that they was not going to be able to pull it out this year, even the first game. They didn't play well the first game of the tournament. But every game, they played it down to the end of the wire. So if I said if it got into an overtime game, last second game, Virginia was going to win that game. Seemed like they knew how to win those games. And four of their games, well, they won just like that. They beat Auburn, and just like there, I want to address that on there. I'm gonna be honest. If everybody knew that was a double dribble, it would have been screaming and hollering on the television from the announcers and everybody. The only reason they called it was a double dribble, I know some people say I saw it. When the guy that was from the official brought and said, you know, that was a double dribble when he threw the ball off his leg. So the point it was easy to miss because of the what the game was. Some people think if you throw it off your leg, you know, continue to dribble. You can't pick it up with both hands. You can continue to dribble, but you can't pick it up with both hands and dribble again. But then before that, if all of a sudden they got robbed, you had a foul even before that. That was on an inbound play that should have been called. Everything should have been called. But, you know, it ended like it's supposed to end. But Virginia brought it out in the end. And that's my thoughts on it. Brother, y'all can talk about it.
Yeah, Dr. Smith, I'm with you right there, man. Ain't nobody see that double trouble. And like I said, I referee games all the time, and I still want to call it. Like you said, it was the heat of the moment. Heat of the moment in the game. And shoot, it wasn't gonna get called, point blank. But like you said, Dr. Smith, it was blatant foul. People say they wouldn't have called it, but you had to. He ran into him. He should have did a run by. You had to call it.
Hey, Trey, I'm laughing because I'm saying here you are, got what 1.6 seconds. I don't know what it was. Why are you? If he hit the shot, fine, you lose the game. You wasn't going to block his shot, so why you run over? All you do run with your hands, standing up there, standing, he shoot over you. If he scored, fine. But he might have missed the shot. But why do you run up there and hit him low where he can't come down? I don't understand that.
Dr. Smith,
Trey,
he was late.
Trey, what you call that?
He was late on the closeout. He was done that,
yep.
Dr. Smith.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was
late. He couldn't control himself when he got there. he was trying to get there quick, and he was going to go up. And really, I thought his intent was to slide up under the kid anyway. I really thought he was going to do that anyway. I didn't think he wanted to stop before. He wanted to get up under him to knock him on the hip and hope the official didn't call that. And he forgot that the kid had to have, be able to end the interruption, and he was in the way. So that's the way I kind of said, I thought his intent was to go do what he did. He knew he couldn't block the shot. He just went on and got up under it, hoping that would knock him off on his shot. But what happened is it caused me, because, you know, when it happened, what everybody did, everybody thought the game was over. Then the official blowing the whistle with about 8 seconds, 9 seconds left on the clock. So it was something to deal with, and that's the Auburn game. But in the championship, we want to congratulate Virginia for winning the 2019 NCAA Basketball Championship. They won the prize, which is March Madness. And whether we thought it was going to be a sloppy, low-scoring game, it was an 88-79 or something like that, that's not low-scoring. And a lot of those points, and it was two overtime, but they had to get to 60 or something to get two overtime. So we saw a game that some people thought wouldn't be very good. And it turned out to be a good physical defensive game. Both teams scored. Some team, it turned the ball over. Some people was unexpected to shoot balls, and they made them. So it became a good game to me. That just me. Some people agree, disagree. All right. Any other thoughts on that? We'll move to another topic. All right, let's look at and I want to ask this question. We were talking about before we got I was lost in the airwaves about James Harden. His style of play, does it hurt the game of basketball today? Possibly in the future, his style of play of isolation, hold the ball, really nobody get involved. Tell me what you think about that, T.
Basketball is ever evolving, Dr. Smith, and it's ever changing. And you know, it's basketball is not the same basketball it was 25 years ago. So yeah, I don't see that he's hurting it. I see he's creating a whole new look. That's my two cents.
Okay. Trey.
Dr. Smith, I'm gonna say this. He's doing the same thing that a Michael Jordan did. He's doing the same thing that a Kobe Bryant did. They were isolation players, point blank. And, if you argue that, you couldn't have watched Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant. But I think he's making a traditional way to play, because if he's hot, Dr. Smith, they hard to beat. Now, if he's cold, they can be beat to sleep. But as of right now, they
yeah.
Y'all got me. As of right now, he's a threat, Dr. Smith. He's a threat to win it if he knows. Now, like I said, if he goes off, it can get ugly. But if he's on, I done seen that Joker hit shot that I thought something was in the ball, the way it was going in. But he's bringing back a traditional game to me. He's looking like a Kobe Bryant and Michael Jordan out there.
And I think the only difference with Jordan and Kobe Bryant, you know, just remember who Kobe Bryant had with him, and he had those other players that they include. And Jordan, out of the triangle. You remember that might have been an ISO, but it was out of a triangle. This is just five players lined out outside, and there's one man do it. Now, the best defense to take away that, you could watch Milwaukee the way they played him. He scored 30 points, but he couldn't get that step back shot that gets him in rhythm. They even gave him a clear shot to the basket. He wouldn't take it because he wanted this step back shot. They actually did not play in front of him. They played to the side and took away that shot. So the point is, when you start taking that and you can't hit any point, then everybody else standing around looking, you may score 30. You know, I would say I'm going to let you go 30, but if nobody else scores anything, it's going to be a problem. And that style of play, I think, hurts young boys and young men when they see that kind of play, because they're going to come to your team thinking they're going to be ISO. when it's a team game. So that's what I mean, because students and young people pick up what they see. They may have picked up Michael Jordan doing some things, hounding the ball, going to the basket, but we understood it was a team game. But now when you see this, is it a good for the young fellas to see this? Because that's a big challenge when you're coaching young men and they try to emanate what they see on television. That's why I said, is it bad for the game? Because when you talk about him playing, it's people watching him play. So that's what I mean. Is it good for now or even good for the future to see an ISO player? Because if you're coaching, you got more than one player on the team. And you ain't going to have many players, but all of them think they play the way. Coach, you can Coach Edwards, you're going to address that. All of them think they're going to be able to do what Harden do. They can't. That's what I mean about ISO, that kind
now,
of ISO
now,
ball.
Say this, Dr. Smith. I haven't seen too many jokers that's basing their game behind what Harden does. I see jokers that try to do everything. I tell kids all the time, you need to find something to specialize in, whether it's rebounding, whether it's playing defense, whether it's facilitating the ball, getting the ball to people so they can score. I was reluctant to have a player like James Harden this year. I had a middle schooler. He's ranked amongst the top eighth graders in the state. And he would take a game over. It been cases where he's scored 18 points in a quarter, Dr. Smith. I mean, but it's also been cases where he cramps up and we lose the game. You know what I'm saying? So I see exactly what you're saying by that. But he's not necessarily doing what James Harden doing. We're running an offense, but the ball stays in his hands. The ball gonna stay in his hands. And the key with him, if he gets going, it's over with, Dr. Smith. And I tell people, if y'all can keep my game plan was this in the playoffs, Dr. Smith, one hard. Y'all keep the game close, I win the game in the fourth quarter. And that's as a coach. I'm telling my kid, keep the game close, I win the game for you in the fourth quarter. I just need to close.
Awesome.
Well, listen.
Awesome.
Let me say this, man. I don't see a James Harden hurting it for anybody else. I mean, to say Michael Jordan hurt it for anybody else, but Michael Jordan had five other players, six other players out there that were dynamic in their own way. So you need dynamicism on the floor. Now, it's nobody's fault that he is carrying the team. It's why didn't you get some more dynamic players, you know, to surround this man with that can make 30 points? So I don't see that. I see he is good for basketball. What he's doing is good for basketball. He just needs other people. And would we be having this conversation if it was a three-man team out there and you had him and three other players? I don't think we'd be having this conversation. That's my two cents.
But Daryl, this the key, Daryl. They signed it. When he passed the ball, them jokers hit the shot. So, and this is the key. When you look at the averages, they have a big man averaging right around 16, 17 points. They solid all the way around. They got another guard that's averaging, Chris Paul was averaging about 13, 14. You got Eric Gordon averaging 13, 14. You got P.J. Tucker averaging 8, 9. So they still scoring. I don't know what they doing. I don't know when they shoot it. But they scoring. But they team is solid. Now, he doesn't have, like you said, the superstars around him. But he has some role players. And like I tell Joker, Houston Rockets have the most traditional team I've ever seen. They play like they in the 90s, with like a Jordan team. Like you said, Dr. Smith, Jordan them ran the triangle offense. The only difference between Jordan and James Harden is Jordan used to post.
Jordan could post in that triangle offense. James Harden ain't trying to post you. He's trying to take you to the goal rarely, and he's trying to step back on you. And he's a hard check. Like you said, Milwaukee Bucks are one of the best defensive teams in the league. Milwaukee Bucks has guys that you don't know that play defense. They got the guy from Tennessee State, Covington. He's playing defense. His sole purpose is to play defense. So he was checking hard. Then you got Giannis that they'll throw on him every now and then. But at the end of the day, Milwaukee Bucks is one of the best defensive teams in the NBA. Like, they are defensive sound. They got Air Bledsoe checking your point guard. So they got defensive dogs all over the floor. So, like I said, with Harden, the only difference between him and Mike is this Joker is not going to post you up. This Joker is going to do his moves. He's either going to go to the goal or he's going to shoot the three in your face. And like you said there, the Joker gets 30 points every night. I take that because I know I'm going to get 30 out of him. Now, he might take 20 shots, 25 shots to get 30, but you get 30 out of him. That's my take, Dr. Shrew.
I think he's gone again. Trey, college football.
Oh, ready. I'm ready. Been keeping up with Alabama recruiting. Can we talk about – tell me this, there. I need your thoughts on the Nick Saban situation with guys declaring for the draft. Have you been paying attention to that, Dale?
I have been.
Give me your thoughts on that.
Well, the thing about it, I think it's good, man. Nick, listen, Alabama is a team full of dynamic players. Don't you think these boys want to go higher? Yes, they do. Nick Saban is the number one recruiting coach, in my mind, in football history. And I don't think, unless you're going somewhere else with that commercial, that question, I don't see a problem with it at all. I think it's good for Nick. I think it's good for the team.
Now, what Nick was saying was he fussed at a bunch of the underclassmen for declaring for the draft. He's saying, why would you declare now and be a fourth through seventh round pick when you can come back next year and be a first through third round pick? He said that's the difference between $8 to $12 million. So
the thing about it is though, Trey, perhaps these kids are realizing that the field is crowded and get in now rather than gamble later and get hurt in college and go ahead and get that signed contract now. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
now it's a gift for gab both ways, but I'm with him with what he's saying. Now, you know some guys are ready. Like, you know, Josh Jacobs, the running back, his stock went up this year. So it's time for him to go. But I don't see it.
You breaking up, Jack?
You hear me? Y'all hear me? Hello?
Yeah, I hear you now. Yeah, I hear you. I'm back,
right,
too.
Like Nick Saban said about Matt Wilson, he has the speed, he has the size, but the thing he doesn't have is the instinctiveness. He doesn't have football instinct. He has speed, size, and he passed the eye test, but he doesn't have instinct. He doesn't have instinct. He said the same thing about Deontay Thompson. Said Deontay Thompson has the instinct. He has the speed, but he doesn't have the size. Why don't you come back next year and get the size? Like you said, get you 10, 15 pounds of muscle on you, and you'll turn yourself to a first-round draft pick. And I understand that totally with what Nick was saying.
Sounds good.
And you know what?
Dr. Smith, I'm glad you're back, Dr. Smith. Go ahead.
And to a sense, I understand what Nick Saban is saying, but when you recruit these guys and you're going to tell them, and let's keep it real, they don't want to go to Alabama because they want to go to pros. They ain't worried about nothing else and win championships. So when a guy get in there at that junior level, but he might just be a sophomore playing on field, because this would, for example, with Mac, you know, I thought maybe he needs another year, but some people have told him, like you said, Nick said he got some of the things, but he proved throughout the year when he was the play call on defense, he don't have the football, and you're going to need that when you get to the NFL. That ain't something just because you look at a playbook. Instinct comes with you, and he hasn't quite got that. One more year, to me, wouldn't have made him any difference. I'm being honest. It wouldn't have made him any difference. And one other reason why, and I know, Trey, I think we discussed this, need to let somebody else step in there. And because you got to start, if you want to keep this thing going and you don't run short, you got a linebacker you're going to be able to put in there. You also have a junior linebacker in there as well. You see what I'm saying? So that person move up, they keep getting that cycle. You're always going to have one mature linebacker. Yeah, this year they played with two immature linebackers. And why I say that, because both of these players, what a name came in and filled in for somebody, and Matt came in and filled in last year. I'm talking about in 2017. 2018 is past year. They now the starters. Nobody had the senior. That's why a lot of times the defense was going wrong place. They couldn't turn it over to Moss, and they gave it to Mac, and Mac didn't. He made a statement on the news somewhere on Facebook or somewhere. I don't know. He said, Coach Saban always told him, it's all right for all 11 players to go, go the wrong way as long as they're doing the same thing wrong. What kind of sense that is? What sense that? Why would you even say, and you the quarterback of the defense. You make that kind of statement, couple of games, folks going the wrong play, and he was making the play call. So I'm just saying he don't have that static. So that might be his biggest problem. But the best good thing is go on. And if you don't get dropped, everybody can think he can be fourth or fifth linebacker. That might be in the fifth, sixth round. You got to realize it. I don't mean you got to be in the first round or second round. It depends on what people need. It's five, four linebackers ahead of him. So at least three. So my point is, he's good to go. But Thompson could have stayed another year because he only got 1 year at it. Josh Jacobs was ready to go. Your other boy, what did he say? He went on go. But while we're talking about people going into the draft, give me your thoughts on Jarrett Harper declaring for the draft, the point guard for Auburn.
Big time, Dr. Smith. The stock went up in the tournament. It's time for him to go. That guy went off in the SEC tournament and the NCAA tournament. It's time for him to go. His stock is sky high. He took the place of Trey Jones that's at Duke. And Trey Jones has made the right decision to come back to Duke. Trey Jones was getting the Ben Simmons treatment by teams in the tournament. So they're saying you're a first-round pick, and they was giving you the Ben Simmons treatment, and you're a point guard. You can't help nobody. You need to come back. You do that to Harvard, you get your eyes shot out your head, Dr. Smith. That joke shoots your eyes out. Y'all go ahead. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Darryl.
And I concur with you wholeheartedly. It's time for him to go. His stock is sky high. And he's NBA material now. And somebody wants him now. He's been seeked out since that tournament. You know that they have came after him hook, line, and sink. We need you now. And there ain't no stopping that boy. You're going to see him be a great player in the NBA. Back to you, Dr. Smith.
And right, I saw his stock go up. He's a 61st player. So where did the 61st player go? That's the only thing I have to do. And the thing about it, he couldn't do that for Auburn anyway. So I have no problem when players get to be juniors and they want to decide to go out in basketball after 3 years. It's good. I won't compare him to a freshman. Everybody thought would go, but the other three players are going. So I'm kind of saying, yeah, this was time for him to show what he could do. And if he didn't show now, he can come on here and sit at the rec gym and do like, what a name, dunking ball, breaking the goals and everything. I'm a little Zion Williamson. I'm joking a little bit on that. We know he's going to make money. But the bottom line is he had to do it this year because there wasn't no room to wait the next year because there ain't going to be no room for him. So at least he's the 61st player that's projected out. So if he can get on a team around the third, fourth, he ain't going to be in the first two now. That's what I believe, first two rounds. Because you remember, there ain't but 12, 13 players on the team. So I just don't kind of believe that, you know, they're going to be. But he has a chance to go and make him some money, whether if you make it with a team or if not, you know, you got G Leagues, you got other things going on. I'm not sending him to the G League, but if you don't make it on the roster, you can always go to G League because a lot of them are drafted for G League. So that's one of the things we have to look at. So we look at great things for him. Once he get a chance to get in there after getting some more intense training, more intense getting, you know, things happening. Yeah, he'll shoot it out. He's shooting it. He was in a rhythm in the playoffs. Tournament and both of them, he was in a rhythm. But we ain't playing. Players get a little different when they get up there. So we'll kind of see and look for it. All right. Let's talk a little bit about college coaches scared to coach their players now. Tell me what y'all think about that. College coaches scared to coach their players. And I saw this last week, and the coach of Michigan State got blasted by several people because he was getting on his player. Can a coach now coach their players, coach them in a way that people don't get upset and sit there reading your lip, trying to see everything you say? Tell me what you think about that, guys.
I'm hoping the coach would speak on that.
I got you. Dr. Smith, I seen nothing wrong with how Izzo coached his kid in the midst of that play right there. He hard coach. That's a hard nosed coach. If the kid ain't one of the kid ain't know who he's playing for, go home. And I was put on a poll. I think I may have said something like this last week. I was put in a poll, and people were really saying that Izzo was wrong for going out, you know, showing a kid up like that. And that's the problem with the generation today, Dr. Smith. Kids think they have rights. They think they have rights like that. Like you ain't supposed to say that to them when they do something wrong. That's the epitome of our environment right now, or this generation. If I have a kid that does something wrong, yeah, they're going to be punished. It's going to be consequences for it. I'm going to fuss. I'm not going to act like it's right.
Sound like you're going to address them and tell them they're wrong, but they're going to tell you I'm going to go home and tell mama and Coach Smith, Coach Edwards know me. Okay, go home and tell her. You're going to be right at home with her because she ain't going to coach my team.
That's it. There.
Are you there? Are you there, Coach?
I'm here. There. I think he went out again.
Well, I'd be the first to tell any. Yeah, I don't know what's going on with that, but I'd be the first to tell you anyway. You know, it's time out for coaches to try to be politically correct, man. You got to coach these kids. They need this stern discipline, man. I'm going to say that. I mean, a coach can go too far. He can become too belligerent. He can become too anything. But one thing he can't stop doing is stop coaching. He can't worry about what people are telling him on the sideline and what parents think. He's there to coach. And sometimes you have to coach in every aspect in order to get your message over to these players. And you're fighting on, you're out there with kids, and you're fighting against the world of things that they see outside the court that you don't need them to bring that to your game. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So
yes.
I'm completely in awe of a coach that can stand the test of time and go out there and deal with this and deal with the nightmares of the parents, deal with the nightmares of the fans, and still be able to lead his team to a victory week after week. So, I mean, yeah, I said coaches can coach their team. They just can't be afraid to coach.
Exactly. And that's what it's all about, my brother. That's what it's all about, being able to coach your team. And if you can't coach your team like you need to coach, you probably need to get out of coaching and not make that your profession.
Now, I've seen some people be very belligerent. I've seen some people go completely off. I think that one locally has run off so many players. The mind is not adapted of the young people to take that tough and hard coaching. They so used to kind of getting everything from home all the way up to school, and everybody operating in the gray. They can't do what they're supposed to do as a coach. The coach is player because his player is so used to having everything. Because if they whine and they cry, parents gonna give it to them. They whine and cry, the teacher gonna give it to them. Whine and cry, the principal gonna let them go. So they expect the coach to be able to allow them to whine and cry, and you don't want to do that. I want them to be able to coach my son like I would coach him, or coach my daughter, or coach my grandson, or whoever it may be. I think it's important. I don't want you to disrespect them or hurt them. Can't be their friend. You can't be the children and be there with them playing like they play. You have to be the adult. And too many times when a coach is trying to be the adult in the room, parents don't want to be the adult because they ain't adults at home with their children. The administrator don't want you to be adult. They worry about what the board's going to say. But they hired me to be firm. They hired me to be fair. They hired me to be funny sometimes. But to do a good job with the three L's in mind. So I kind of see that's one of the biggest problems in our society. We operate in the gray. So it's not just in sports. It's in laws. We're in education. Everything operates in the gray. In our homes, so many things going on. So, you know, it had to be dealt with. We're going to not be scared to coach me if you choose to coach. If you are, you need to go home and not come back. Tell me what your thoughts on that one. Then we'll get ready to kind of wrap this thing up because we have about 4 minutes to go.
Fair, firm, and consistent. Go ahead, coach.
I agree with y'all totally with that. And like I said, I was reluctant to play up under Dr. Smith and my father, Mitch Edwards. And I'm gonna say this, they stayed on. And I wasn't no mediocre player in middle school and in high school. But I knew who my first critics would be after this football game. I played against Dr. Smith when he coached at Lanier. I played for Jeff Davis, and he coached against me, and I talked to him the whole game on the field. So, and you know, he said some things, but I talked to him the whole game. That ain't going to work. That's not working. You know. But as far as my dad, he was the Hitler of basketball to me. He fussed about everything, but I understood what he was saying. I never rebelled against my dad in football or basketball. He knew what he was talking about. I coached hard just like Dr. Smith and Mitch Edwards. So what they instilled in me, it's still successful right now. Now, I have to curb it a little because we can't talk to them like they used to talk to us back in the day. But other than that, I mean, it's the same thing going on. So it's successful. So you can coach hard and win games, or you can coach soft and lose. And I'm telling Joker that now. You know, a lot of people say now in middle school, Trey, you're the only Joker that's out there coaching. So you got to change every year, no matter what talent you're going to have. And like I said, I tell y'all my game plan right there. Guys, just keep it close. I win this game at the end for you. And but like I said, my values that are instilled in there are from Dr. Smith and Michelle was from tough coaching, like instilling stuff in me, not letting up on them. And that's, I hold my kids accountable. That's all I got to say.
That's awesome. That's awesome, Trey. And you know, we're at the point now, we're at the end of the show. And Darryl, did you want to say anything about that? We had to kind of close everything out.
I'll acquiesce until next week, but I appreciate it. But I'll make it real short. This I wanted to say, you know, being fair, firm, and consistent in whatever you're doing makes for a better leader. And I was glad to hear you say fair, firm, and funny. But and from where I'm from, it's fair, firm, and consistent. But consistency in coaching is a must. So I just wanted to add that little two pieces. I appreciate everybody listening tonight. Back to you, Dr. Smith.
Awesome, Darryl. We do thank you for coming on. Trey as well, and our other co-hosts. It was trying to make it here, and I thank Darryl
I'm gonna get this last thing, send it out to Touchdown Tony. I thought he was gonna be here for the question mark, but Tony didn't make it again this week, so we're gonna have to have a conversation with him. But we had an awesome time tonight. We talked about some stuff, topics our phone had. So little problems here and there, but we made it through. Sometimes that's what they're trying to stop us from doing what we're doing. So we're so glad to come before you. We'll wrap it up because this is the last show for this week. Trying to have a show. If not, I'll let the team know whether because I have to be out of town and I'll sit at a conference and I'll see how everything works out. But I had an awesome time tonight. So it's all good. But I do have some advertisement here and I had one to help pay the bills. And it came from my fraternity, Daryl, our fraternity. Their 2019 Southern Regional Conference in Tampa Bay, Florida, on the 11th through the 14th. There are several events going on Friday, April the 12th, which is this Friday, 7:30. Have a Greek comedy tour with Kelly, Delta Sigma Theta members, Shula King, Omega Psi Phi, Christopher Columbus, Phi Beta Sigma, Bishop, $10, and all held at the West Shore Grand Hotel. Then also on Friday night, they got an old school party in that hotel at $10. Saturday, they have the Phi Beta Sigma pageant and step show at 7 o'clock. And Saturday night, Sigma Masquerade Soiree, $10. And then they have, after set at the hospitality. So join them in Tampa Bay this weekend. Members of Phi Beta Sigma fraternity in Southern Region. They want to make sure I shout that out, and they will pay some bills this time. So I look forward to talking with them when I get down there this weekend and look for a check. So we enjoyed everything, team. I appreciate you. We're just growing. We are worldwide, and we tell everybody if you want to check the data, go check the data. We're hitting everywhere in the country that are listening to what we're talking about. So we become the voice of the historical black colleges and universities, high school and middle school athletics in the southeastern part of this United States, but also in the world. So we appreciate everybody's joining us. We're at that point. They always give our hashtag keep on grinding. That's all, and that's what we're doing. We're grinding. Communicate for understanding. And last but not least, I love you, and ain't a thing you can do about it. So have an awesome night. And we look forward to having you next week. And we will make sure we keep you abreast of what's going on. And we're going to run some things on Facebook. So make sure you check it out. Give us some congratulations out to those individuals who played a major part in us being successful. Like I said, we're living our best life. And we appreciate you joining. Have an awesome night and an awesome weekend.
We gon' start this thing off right. Duval in the Manila organ house. Come on. Do it, baby, take it, baby.
I'm living my best life. Ain't go back and fuck with you now. I'm living my best life. Ain't go back and fuck with you. I'm living my best life. Ain't go back and fuck with you now. I'm living.
So what the f*** you be wildin' for? Come on, I get my grin on. I'm smiling, bitch, cause I always get my win on. I've been on so many different stages. Graced the cover of 100 magazine pages. Made people smile everywhere that I went. I even put it on the first black president. It's evident I'm hot as a crock pot. With a big ass smile like Mr. Hotspot. You got a lot to be smiling for. So what the f*** you be wildin' for? If you're breathing, you achieving. We having fun this evening, believe it.
I'm living my best life. Ain't going back to fuck with you now. I'm living my best life. I'm living my best life. Ain't going back and forth with you.
there. And so ahead of you don't even much care. We finna get another bag this year. My ex, you can have that there. Hey. This year, bad vibes get cut off. More trips, new chicks with no draws. More drinks, more smoking, more cars. More shows with Duval and Snoop Dogg. Look, I ain't trying to throw no shade, cause I can't see them in my lane. As long as my rent getting paid, I can care less with a beer bank, huh? You in the club every night with no job. Eating good off your food stamp card. You made a killing last year off fraud. If you know you ain't going to work tomorrow,
I'm living my best life. Ain't going back and forth with you now. I'm living my best life. Ain't going back and forth with you now. I'm living my best life. Ain't going back and forth with you now. I'm living my best life.
You got a lot to be smiling for. So what the f*** you be wildin' for? If you're breathing, you achieving. We having fun this evening, believe it.